do that, I will be reading that scripture with you. If you would, Genesis chapter 18, verse 22 through 33. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I am who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for a lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." And again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 40, I will not do it." Then Abraham said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." God answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham again said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." God answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way, and when he had finished speaking to Abraham, Abraham returned to his place. Today, I think many people feel like we don't live in a good time. We live almost in a Sodom and Gomorrah time. Yesterday, when I went to see Faye, she said, "We live in a bad time." She says, "I can't even watch the news. It just scares me out." It's not the way I remember this community in this place. I've never seen anything like it today. I try to remember the words. And the question must come, will God bring judgment against America for her sins? If he does, will he spare the righteous? There are some who said that we went through COVID and that was a judgment of God. Others who said that that is the natural occurrence of things that is going to happen. And sin happens as well as righteousness. In our story here, Abraham has some visitors, and they told him of Sarah's impending birth of her son Isaac, and which was the promise of God to Abraham to be the father of many nations. But while they were there, God decided to reveal his plans to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of his great evil. He was sending these men to Sodom and Gomorrah to check it out to see if he could find any righteous or how bad the evil was. As you heard us read, Abraham decided to intercede for the city and for the people there. It may have been partially because his nephew Lot and their family was there, but it seems he bargained with God for the righteous who might be in the city. How many times do we pray and feel like we're bartering with God? Actually, this was not Abraham's way of thinking. He was not bartering with God. He was just questioning, "Would you do this, God? Would you save it for 10? God had no desire to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not his plan. He does not want to bring judgments against people. And so God continuously told Abraham, for that nation, 40, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, and then finally 10, I will save the city. I want to save the city. And I believe God wants to save America. If there were 10 righteous, godly people who would stand in the gap of save America. It's always been that way, don't you know? It's always been God who intercedes for the people. It is. It only takes you one to intercede. With one man, Noah, saves humanity through God's grace with his family in the ark. With one man, Moses, God delivered a million people out of the hands of slavery. With one woman, Esther, God saved the children of Israel, a nation of people. With one man who became a missionary, Paul, the gospel spread and saved millions of people. With one man, Martin Luther, God sent the Reformation into motion. And with one person, God has led nations into repentance and to great awakenings. All it takes is one person who intercedes for their family, who intercedes for their community where they live, who intercedes for their state, who intercedes for their nation, who intercedes for the country. This might be a small church coming out of COVID, but I believe it's a strong church who intercedes. Our prayer chain is powerful. I've seen a lot of miracles through that prayer chain. Regina, who I talked to through text messages this week, reminded me how God had healed her through the prayers of this church. And she was near, well, not on her deathbed, but very close. And then she walks through the door one day, and we all looked up, and I said, "This is Regina. You've been praying for her for a long time." And I've seen that happen in this church over and over again. The great ministry of interceding is done right here in this church. And I want to tell you something. I know that there are people who are looking for churches that are this way, and they're looking for a church this way, I've been looking for a church this way. And I'm going to tell you what I want. I want a church where people know how to intercede for one another and their prayers are answered, because in that place I know I'm in God's will and I'm safe. That's why I'm glad I'm here. I don't think I'd last this long, God. We really don't without the prayers of you, your prayers, and being in the confines of a great but for 10 righteous people who intercede for this community can be saved and delivered in the hands of God. 10. It only takes, I said, I will deliver for 10. Why do I think it's important that we continue to come together and worship and minister? It's because I believe that we have the responsibility for the lifeblood and the life of this community. There are a couple of other churches nearby, but I want you to know that I believe that this church has had for 270, how many years? 218 years. This church has been here and has been the strength of this community, and I believe it will. God still depends on this church to be the strength of this community. All it takes is one person, one family, one group. Imagine if everybody in this church started interceding for this community. What would happen? Is there a God? You start interceding once, if there's not a God, it's an amazing and important God. Tens of thousands are coming into this community. What is the street in front of Luke's house? What is that? Right. In your room. I was amazed when I went to see Faye's here. All of those apartments were on there. I haven't been down that road in a few months. Not specifically. I've never been down Davis. But I could not believe thousands of people are coming in. Where are they coming from? I don't know, but there's a lot of them if they fill up all those apartments. And then we have a lot of new apartments that have already been completed. A lot of people are coming to this place. From where? From all over the world. This is a worldwide area, a worldwide ministry. And that's what we should be because that's what our community is. I went yesterday and decided as pastor, I will do this more and more. We have an intercessory prayer walks. We went once last month, and then we went a month before that. And we just walk around and pray for the community. And as I was walking around that community, Loyal Skateboard came up and I talked to him, and I really believe God wants to do something with that young man. So I'm keeping him on my prayers because how do I know that? God just laid in my heart. This young man, God wants to do something with him. God really wants to do something. Would that we had a burden for our community such that we chose out people that God put on our heart to pray for? What would happen? Where are the Billy Grahams? Where are the ministers? Where are the Martin Luther Kings? Right here in this community. They're right here. All we've got to do is begin to pray and intercede for them. One person can change the course of rivers through their prayers. The scripture says the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, which means causes much to happen. So, how do we do it? First of all, I believe you must have a plan to pray. Would you do me a favor, Cheryl? Would you go to that table back there and bring me one of those prayer mats, one for the nation and one for the state? I'd appreciate it. I believe we have to have prayer. I don't know how many of you have prayer journals. This is mine. One of the things that happened yesterday while I was talking, it was just an insightful time. As I was walking around and I saw this young man pumping gas, I went up to him and said, "Do you have a prayer address?" "No, I got a car." He said, "Yeah, pray for my sister." So I pulled out I said, "This is my prayer journal." And I pulled it out. And the guy leaned in the window and looked. He said, "Wow, you've got that cold." I said, "This is my third this year. I'm going out." And I didn't have a cold. But the prayer journal can keep you on track. And I believe the prayer journal also tells you what prayers have been answered. My wife wants for Christmas a prayer journal by Billy Graham's daughter, and so I'm going to order that She does get something else beside that. She wanted that for Christmas. And so I'm ordering that. And she said, because it's a journal which inspired me with your dad's journal. If you were here last Sunday, you know what I was talking about. I read from my dad's journal, his prayer journal, and it so inspired me that the service last Sunday, this message was from basically what he had said. And that was when he was 85 years of age. Some people think, well, I'm this age, or I'm that age, I'm either too young to do a journal, I'm too old to do a journal, or whatever. You're never too old, you're never too young. As a matter of fact, the greatest treasure I have right now is my father's prayer journal. Because he tells about what's going on in his heart. When I read that thing, he comes up. Now, he didn't complete it. The last 25 pages or so of his journal, he didn't complete it. And it has scripture in it. So I told Bill, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start from where he ended, and I'm going to put my prayer journal on so that my children have not only their grandfather, but their father's journal, spiritual journal, prayer journal, what's going on in the heart. By the way, the prayer journal, what you do is you write down think thoughts in your heart. It's not just pray for you and listen. It's also, Lord, give me strength to be able to do this or that. And Lord, provide a job. But Lord, I pray that the job you provide me with is honorable to you, and it can be a ministry. And then when you get that job, you go back and look at this stuff, you can say, woo-hoo, look. Take a prayer journal is important. And also a prayer map. We have a prayer map. We have Alicia has been working on a prayer map. And the prayer map is a map of this area and where we got our prayer walks for the community and where we pray for people. Now also we're going to put stores. I pray for like 10 stores here. And I'm going to try to pray for everybody in every store in this community. That will take me probably a year. There's quite a few stores in this area. But I'm going to do it. And I go in and talk to them and let them know what I'm doing. But a prayer mat, we have these. They're at the back if you don't have one. And they take you on a daily walk. And most of you guys have one. Takes you on a day of walk so that you pray for the whole world. Now, when I get to heaven and God says you pray for the whole world, whoa. And then there's a USA map, and it's the same thing. It's just the guide, and you pray for each state. And it has certain things that it says about the state of prayer that you can pray for. Prayer man, these are good, right? To intercede. We as a church need to be an interceding church that transforms the future of this community. And that no matter what IBM thinks, I think God is more in charge here than I do. I think he what he can do here. Imagine, once you just think a minute, that when you get to heaven, you would be able to sit down with Moses and talk, or Abraham, or you would be able to sit down with Sarah and Esther, great men and women of God. Just talk to them and listen to their life story and just hear something that you can bring. Listen, that would be great. But imagine. Because when you get to have people come up to you and want to sit down with you, and to pray and talk with you, and want to be with you, because at one time or the other, you prayed for them, and they were delivered or healed or given strength or whatever. And they knew it in heaven, they were given that insight, and they came to you to say so. And 1 year ago, It was 3.5 years. At Crescent, where I was teaching, I had a young man bring a group to sing. And when they brought the group to sing, he stood up and he said, "I just want you guys to know this. I would not be here leading these kids to the Lord and share it with these kids if it wasn't for this guy." And he pointed to me. We didn't prearrange this stuff. He said, because one day he took time out to come up to the drugstore where I worked and to talk to me about the Lord. And he prayed for me. How many will be in heaven that you have prayed for, that you have touched with your life? That's what I'm looking forward to. Can one person change stuff? You know, in the days where we said, "I'm only one person, what can one person do?" Let me tell you what one person can do. Some of you have heard the hymn of the music, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Y'all know the story, don't you? It was about 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales. As a result of this, many missionaries came to the northeast of India to spread the gospel. The region known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes who were primitive and aggressive headhunters. And to these hostile and aggressive communities came a group of missionaries from an American Baptist mission, spreading the gospel of love. Naturally, they were not welcome. One missionary succeeded in converting a man, his wife, and 2 children. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers, and he then called the family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man said, "I'm sorry, I have decided to follow Jesus." Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers with arrows to down the 2 children. As both boys lay dying before the man, he was told, "When you deny your faith, you have lost your children. Would you lose your wife too?" But the man replied, "Though none go with me, I still will follow." And the chief took his wife and killed his wife. With his wife and children at his feet, the tribal leader said, "Will you now reject Christ, this Christ we're talking about?" And he said, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." He was then shot with the rest of his family. They were buried. But with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was moved by the faith of this man. He wondered how this man could stand there and watch his wife and children die. What kind of faith is this? He had no idea, and so he chose to find out. And over the next few months, this man, this tribal leader, became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, he remembered what the man said, and he wrote it down. And someone in the village made up a song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It not only led the village, the whole village, to become Christian, but in all their worship service, their theme going to ask that you stand with me right now. And I'm going, we're going to go make the next step as well with the return to an invitation to him at the